in his day, but there were many who believed in it before that time. Even Jonathan Edwards, 1703 to 1758, who read by candlelight that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and had people falling down in repentance and crying out for mercy, was a post-millennialist, but he believed in the rapture. He said, upon this, Christ and all his saints and all the holy angels ministering to them shall leave this lower world and ascend toward the highest heavens. He shall ascend with his elect church with him, glorified in body and soul. The redeemed church shall ascend with him in a most joyful and triumphant manner, and all their enemies and persecutors shall be left behind to be consumed. One will find the attitude of respect, devotion, and appreciation for the concept of the rapture among Protestant reformers and among the Puritans of their day. Even when they disagreed on the timing of the event, and we refer to Watson's extensive study in dispensationalism before Darby for numerous details and examples, he concludes this section of his study stating, in the late 18th century, more than a generation before Darby, belief in the rapture of the church before a great tribulation was commonplace in Britain. While the pre-tribulational view was not the dominant view throughout church history, it certainly existed before Darby in the 1830s. So much documentation on people who believe as we believe from the apostles of the Lord in the Bible throughout church history until this day today. Turn, if you will, with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1. We know the rapture is what we call the first stage or phase of the second coming. There are two aspects, separate and distinct, but part of the whole called the second coming of Christ. Now, some who reject this teaching accuse us of believing in two second comings of the Lord. It is not different. It is not distinct. It is a part of the same. Second coming refers to the rapture and of the second advent. Those who believe in the Trinity have often been accused of believing in three gods. We believe in one true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Jehovah's Witnesses and people of that nature accuse us of believing in three gods. And the arguments that people create are straw men to either magnify their own belief and their own point or try to destroy the belief that we would hold. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Many years ago, the Lutheran denomination made a Hollywood-style movie called A Thief in the Night. It got shown around the country in churches. It used this passage of Scripture referring to the rapture as Christ coming like a thief in the night. This does not refer to the rapture. It refers to the second advent. It refers to the tribulation that this will come upon men when they are unsuspecting. Let me go on in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That word salvation has in its meaning deliverance. We will be delivered from the wrath to come. Salvation of God's completion is when He takes us home to heaven to give us our glorified body, and salvation becomes complete. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, the rapture will occur without requirements of specific events being fulfilled. And in that sense, it comes without warning and makes you think that this passage is applicable. Just like Matthew 24, there are many things that are said in Matthew chapter 24 that can make you think they're applicable to looking for the rapture to take place as the lightning comes out of the east and talking about no man knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. But those are passages that deal with the end of the age and with the second coming of Christ, not with the rapture in specific. The day of the Lord is the tribulation, which concludes with Christ's return to the earth, and the saints of God shall come with him. This tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel's vision. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20. Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, 69 weeks of years would transpire from the time that Israel was given the commandment to go back and restore the temple and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of Christ, the Messiah, would be 69 weeks of years. So there's still another week that's left out. He said, the street shall be built again, the wall, evil and troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall be destroyed. The city that destroyed the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end the war, desolations are determined. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice in the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now make note in your mind, and maybe in your notes there, that in Matthew 24, Jesus told his disciples, referring to the end of man and the end of the age, that the abomination of desolation was yet to come. When Antiochus Epiphanes and war against Israel by Syria had defiled the temple of God, they offered a pig on the altar of God and defiled the sanctuary. This brought about the war with Judah Maccabees and the time of conquering and then cleansing the temple. It was through this event that they had no holy oil and how they had to wait for a period of time until they could consecrate the oil. And somehow they believed miraculously the oil they had continued to burn in the lampstand of the sanctuary, and that is where we get Hanukkah and the celebration of Hanukkah, the festival of lights, where they celebrate the cleansing of the temple. Now, historians And some people who don't believe in biblical prophecy as we do have tried to say that was the abomination of desolation that took place in that day with Antiochus Epiphanes. But Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 24 that the desolation is yet to come. It is something in the future. It is a part of the tribulation. And it won't be a pig, it'll be the Antichrist that will stand in the temple. Most likely he's going to declare either men worship him or worship his image that will be set up. And he'll stop them offering things in the temple. So we know because of that, there will be a renewed temple built in Israel. Brother Ken Overby, our missionary with Jewish Missions, sent out a note the other day and said that Netanyahu has approached both Russia and President Trump about helping rebuild the temple in Israel. They've moved their headquarters there now for the United States, and seven other nations have followed suit to move their headquarters there for their ambassadors in Jerusalem, acknowledging that Israel has the right to have Jerusalem as their capital. And now they're looking at the possibility of rebuilding the temple. You can get a lot of speculation on that. There's a lot of room for debate. We don't know when that's going to happen. It does not have to happen before the rapture, when Jesus comes to take us to heaven. But it will have to happen before the end of the tribulation period. And it'll have to happen early in the tribulation if it is not already rebuilt, because they will be offering sacrifice and the Antichrist will allow it. And then one day, all of that will change. And that's a part of the great tribulation that lasts 3.5 years. So we're looking at a 7-year period of time that has not yet taken place. The 69 weeks of years took place in the prophecy, just as God said to Daniel that it would, from the time they went back to rebuild until the time that Christ was crucified. And then there's still a week of 7 years that has not yet been fulfilled. In chapter 9 and verse number 27, the he that makes the covenant is the Antichrist. He will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years, for 1 week. And during that time, I think that may be the catalyst to rebuild the temple, to allow that to take place. Some kind of a peace treaty with the Arabs and that sort of thing to allow the rebuilding of the temple and the beginning of sacrifice again. But that's speculation on my part. Now turn over to chapter 11 with me and verse 36. Chapter 11, verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that his determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Then look down at chapter 12 and verse number 11. In the midst of this time period of 7 years in the future. Verse 11 of chapter 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's approximately 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and shall stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So the first time frame, 3.5 years, 1,290 days, and the second, 1,335 days. And this divides the 7-year period. That's why we call for a 7-year tribulation, divided into 2 3.5-year periods, with the last 3.5 years being the Great Tribulation, where Revelation 6 through 19 takes place, where all of the judgments will be poured out on the earth in God's wrath. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 24:15, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel had not yet taken place. Find another reference in Mark 13:14. Then turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. Y'all getting deep stuff here tonight. This is like the old Free Will Baptist preacher I knew, Mr. Kennington, years ago. He was in a nursing home. He wore glasses, looked like bottoms of Coca-Cola bottles. He said, "I was a preacher." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yeah, I had a church." And he told me the name of it. It was a little no-name church, you know. And he said, "I didn't believe in eternal security." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, I was Free Will Baptist. I didn't believe in eternal security." He said, "One day I was working in the bleacher," and he said, "just like God talked to me." He said, "I got down on my knees right there in the middle of the aisle in the bleacher." And he said, "It was like God asked me, 'When are you going to start trusting me and believing me? I saved you. I keep you.'" He said, "I got up off my knees. I believe from then on." He said, "I went ahead of a whole bunch of them that day, didn't I?" I said, "Yes, sir, you sure did. You believed God." And my friends, there's a lot of people that don't understand what you understand, that don't know what you know, that don't get taught what you're getting taught, that don't have the exposure of scriptures, of prophetic things that you're learning right now on the level that you're learning them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That word "let" means restrain. The Holy Spirit restrains evil until the rapture takes place, and then he will withdraw himself. Doesn't mean he goes away, but he won't restrain evil as he does today. It says, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming." Antichrist cannot come to power until the Holy Spirit does not restrain his evil and wickedness. He has to allow this to take place. You say, "Well, why does God allow that?" You ask God when we get to heaven, okay? You know, I don't have all the answers, but I know God knows better than I do. It says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Excuse me. So, those people left behind who've been given a clear presentation of the gospel and rejected to continue to live in sin will be given a delusion to follow the lie of the Antichrist and not have another opportunity to be saved. So there's great danger among men rejecting the Lord. Now there will be a multitude of people saved during the tribulation period, but it's going to be people who've either never heard the gospel or never understood the plan of salvation and that sort of thing. All the countries of the world will be involved in this end time, and as we know, America has a privilege of the gospel on the airways and in the printed page and churches on every corner and Christians all over, but many nations of the world do not have that. And the gospel will be spread to the whole world in that day. 144,000 of the Jews will be evangelists spreading the gospel in the tribulation, and a multitude will be saved. Many of them will die being beheaded because they won't take the mark of the beast and they won't worship his image in that day. In Revelation 11:3, God raises up the witnesses. If you want to look there with me. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Here we come back to 3.5 years. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Who is it that Israel is looking to come again before the end of the world? They're looking for Elijah to come. And Elijah had the power to shut up heaven that the rain didn't come upon the earth. It says, these will have power to shut up the heavens, have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street in the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So I know we're talking about Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In this same hour, a great earthquake takes place, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now these witnesses of God shall prophesy for 3.5 years, and then they shall be killed and laid dead in the street, and then they shall be resurrected, and they will be taken up to heaven with the Lord in the same way the rapture takes us up to heaven to be with the Lord also. In chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, in verse 5, the Bible gives us a vision of personages referring to Israel and the Christ child in type and symbol. Chapter 12, verse 5. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So that's taking place in the tribulation period, how that God will remove Satan. Satan's not in hell today. He goes before the throne of God and accuses believers before God when we sin. But Christ makes intercession for us. He is our advocate. God would have us not to sin, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Israel will be protected for a time and a half, and a 42-month period. And in chapter 13 and 14, we come to the mark of the beast and the worship that men will have of him, and how all those who receive his mark and worship the beast will be damned, and there can be no hope for them. Now, the day of the Lord is preceded by signs. The rapture is not preceded by any particular signs that must take place. There'll be cosmic disturbance in the heavens. There'll be the apostasy of the professing church. There'll be the rapture that will take place for us to go to heaven to be with the Lord as a part of the signs before the last time. the manifestation of the man of sin, the Antichrist, will come to power. Then there will be apocalyptic judgments that will be the wrath of God poured out upon the earth, Revelation 11 through 18. The Antichrist will confirm the covenant with Israel for 7 years. And in the midst, Revelation 12, 11, the abomination of desolation stops the temple sacrifice and the abomination is set up. And in the days of Syria's abomination, where they offered a pig upon the altar of God, that was something they had to go through a cleansing aspect to restore. But that has nothing to do with the true abomination of desolation that will be fulfilled in those latter days. I got about 5 more pages of notes, but I'll stop right here for tonight, okay? Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Hope I'm making it clear to you. Hope you can study these things on your own and make notations and learn this timeline of biblical prophecy, because you may have great opportunity to witness to someone through being able to understand biblical prophecy and share with them how they need to be saved before it's too late. And let's be prayerful for our families. Yes, sir.